Hey, welcome everybody to another edition of Anime Talk, a special end-of-the-year celebration and award ceremony for the best and worst of what we've seen this year. But let's get started. We've got a lot to talk about, and there's no time to waste. So, first up, as always, it's me and Aeroblip.
Hi!
After a hiatus last week because, you know, school's just too tough for him, he's back for a last end-of-year show to kick it off.
You know, you make me sound like a wuss. Like, too tough for me? Really?
You know, I gotta get it in when I can, because you're never going to let me live down that I have to watch Idolmaster, so I got to get it in somewhere.
Well, for the record, you did bring up the show this time. I didn't say anything about it.
We did go an entire week last week without mentioning it, but let's keep moving on. You know, this week, to help us kick off our end-of-year show, we've brought in a special guest. So go ahead and introduce yourself.
Hey, guys. Mr. Flawfinder from the blog Standing on My Neck.
Anything else?
I'm glad to be here and discuss discuss what I think of your favorite shows.
Yeah, so
they suck.
Yeah, so Mr. Flawfinder does have a reputation for being a bit of a downer on Twitter, but tonight we'll be sure to keep him a little bit in check and keep things going. But anyways, it's kind of that end of year spectacular. You know, this is our last show. We'll be taking Christmas off. We'll be taking New Year's off. So we thought, hey, let's throw in the kitchen sink and let's see what the best of was this year. So, end of year awards. Start with something really simple. Best original soundtrack. So, our special guest, Mr. Flawfinder, why don't you start? What show did you think had the best original soundtrack for this year?
I really love the soundtrack for Kids on the Slope. It's Yoko Kanno doing her thing with all that jazz and stuff. Even if it's a bunch of them are, I guess, rehashes or remakes of some old jazz music like Monin or Print or my, whatever that Prince song is. It's still really cool to listen to. I have it on my iPod. I love listening to it whenever, every time I just play it on. And not much to say other than I love kids on the Slope soundtrack.
And to be honest, that's probably the best thing about the show was the soundtrack. What about you, Aeroblip? What would you choose as your best OST this year?
Well, see, here's the thing. You need to know that this is original soundtrack. So, I mean, while I do give props to Yoko Kanno for what she's done, again, as you said, a lot of those songs weren't original. So that's the only reason why I left it off my ballot. My best of OST would actually have to go to Chihaya Furu. A lot of you guys forgot about that show, right? Right? Yeah. So what originally started in fall of 2011 and then carried over into winter 2012, you had this excellent show by Madhouse, and while the soundtrack may not actually be, let's say, as popular or standalone as like most people would think, what I loved about it is how it actually added to the atmosphere and to the tension for Chihaya Furu. So, of course, when you're dealing either in the everyday going-ons of the classroom or actually when they're in the competition themselves, the soundtrack adds, it's atmospheric, yes, but it definitely adds something to the show. And by all means, it's something that's wonderful and something that I can perhaps listen to over and over again. I may or may not have downloaded it, may or may not be legal, but the point is that I have it, and it's an awesome one.
That's a show I did not watch, but I'll take your word for it. For me, I'm going to go Eureka 7 AO. You know, there was a great mix of techno music, strings. I think it was a two-part OST. Both of them were great. I thought it was just a wonderful mix of sounds carried out not only in the show, but then on the soundtracks as well. So, Eureka 7, again, another show where probably the soundtrack was better than the final plot, but I will take and listen to that anytime. I thought it was great. You know, next up for this year, let's pick a little tougher one. Let's look at best animation. So, for this kind of category, we're looking at, you know, what show was not necessarily, I guess, what show had the best animated qualities, however you want to say that, whether it's best use of color, best animation, I don't know, best, whatever you want to use to describe it.
Why don't you start off, Joe?
For me, I got to go with Hyouka. I thought it was beautifully animated, even right up to that final scene that was just, it was a gorgeous mix of color. Definitely my favorite for animation this year. I mean, there's a lot of shows that are well done. I thought that one just put a little more, obviously it had the budget, but it put just a little more effort into making it, you know, over the top spectacular.
I mean, of course, Hyouka is from, you know, this little studio called Kyoto Animation. So it's not like they're known for their picturesque quality or anything like that, right?
Yeah, that's true. You know, you get what you, at least you get what you're getting what you expect out of the deal. They don't produce anything that's subpar quality for sure.
Recently,
sure. Yes, recently. Caveat, not you. Knock on wood. Caveat. So, Arrow, what about you?
I kind of want Mr. Fallfinder to say his pick first.
Oh, really? Okay.
I have a reason why.
Okay. All right. Go for it then.
like Joe, it's also Hioka. I love the way it's shot. I love those beautifully animated set pieces. Like half the time, I thought it was Kyoto Animation trying to be Shaft and actually timing those set pieces much better than what I've seen of most Shaft shows. And it even copied like Makoto Shinkai's beautiful animation quite a few times, especially in that last episode with the cherry blossoms and all that. Yeah, not really much else to add that Joe hasn't said, except, well, it's Kyo Ani. They always do the best when it comes to animation, even when they pick pretty crap source material.
Yeah. All right, so Airblip, you wanted to be last. Go for it.
Okay, so let's go down this. Joe said Hioka, Flawfinder said Hioka, and I even admit that Kyo Animation has perhaps, like, or is perhaps one of the best studios out there. I'm going to go with Mise Monogatari.
So why is that?
Okay, well, here's the thing. First of all, I'm a Shaft fanboy. I absolutely love what Shinbo tries to do. You know, people say that, oh, he's known for doing slideshows or it's just being random. I like the way he experiments with the art. And Mise Monogatari is definitely one of those. Like, first of all, you see all that, like, Madoka money finally going into this production. The openings and endings themselves are just fantastic to look at, and they're so vivid and colorful, especially Marshmallow Justice. That's just an example, and that's for like a minute 30. Not to mention, if you look at the entire show, for 12 episodes about fucking about and doing nothing at all, except for maybe one toothbrushing or another, like, this show was able to keep my attention for all 12 episodes, regardless of like how engaging the plot is or the actual dialogue or even the fact that whether Senju Gahara was there or not. Like, I absolutely, like, I love the show, and I gush over it, and a part of that has to be in the way it was done, in the way it's presented. Like, the little things, like, either the shadows, the shading, the cinematography, like, it's just absolutely beautiful. And I can talk forever about, like, why I love Mise Monogatari, but I won't, because we're stuck to the stupid format, and we have to stay under an hour. But you know what? But it's Mise Monogatari, hands down for me. That's like an absolutely wonderful show. Hyoka's pretty good. Hyoka's pretty good. But Mise Monogatari is so much better.
See, I wish I could have watched. See, I refrained from watching that this year because I was told, look, you have to watch Bakke first before you can watch Nisei. So I will have to pick that up next year, watch both series back to back, and then see what all the fuss is about.
Pace yourself. That's all I can say. Pace yourself. Bakke Monogatari, it's absolutely one of my favorite series of all time. Easily my top five. But for you, Joe, specifically, I'm going to say you're going to have to pace yourself with it.
Okay.
But it's also beautiful, too.
Okay. Okay. All right. All right. So we're moving on to the next topic here. Best opening. So openings tend to be a very debatable topic because you've got the mix of not only the animation style, which can be completely different than the show, as well as the music that goes into making that, whether it's an original piece or it's a non-original piece, maybe from a piece of pop music, whatever that is. So best opening. Now, for me, I rarely watch openings and endings, so I'll let you guys debate on this one. Best opening.
Errol,
you
rarely watch openings. Come on. You've had to see at least one.
I know that every opening for every anime, for the most part, is a minute 30. So as soon as it starts, I fast forward a minute 30, and I start watching again.
That's like a minute 30 of like goodness. Why are you missing that?
I think we've had this talk before, is that it's a minute 30 I can get to do something else later. Like, I'm short on time, so I cut 3 minutes out of every show every time I watch. An argument for another time. Anyway, since you went last on the last topic, Arrow, go first on this one. Your best opening this year.
Best opening. Okay, I was actually pretty torn on this one. You know, 2012 is forever going to be known as, like, the Platinum Disco year, because Jesus Christ, that opening was absolutely addictive, and I listened to it nonstop. But I'm going to switch it up a bit. I'm going to go with the Suritama opening just because of the fact that it's so beautiful and so colorful, and it's very hyper and energetic, and considering how it's a show about fishing, that's also very hyper and energetic. It's well done. Like, that's what I can say. Like, it's an awesome opening. There's a lot of great ones, but Suritama is definitely a cool one.
All right. Flawfinder,
you had,
whatever.
Joe, huh? You had to see that one, right? At least you saw that one?
I watched only one episode of that show.
Oh.
And then I was like, I caught the, I think maybe the first two episodes when he was squirting everybody with the squirt gun. And I was like, if this is where this show's going, I'm done. So I just quit watching and never got back to it.
Oh. Yeah, it can get boring. I'm sorry.
Not boring. It's just that the squirt gun thing, giving everybody a little bit of a heroin high or whatever he was doing with that squirt gun. Just, I don't know. It put me off originally for whatever reason. I never got back to the show.
Bring it back of your old days, you know, back at Woodstock.
I'm not that old. Thank you very much. That's our parents' age, for crying out loud. But there was two Notre Dame shows. I don't think I watched either of them that season. It was Suritama. What was the other one?
Kids on a Slope.
Okay, so I did watch Kids on a Slope. I didn't watch Suritama. But Flawfinder, your favorite opening this year?
The most obvious one, of course, JoJo.
JoJo.
And I'm talking about the first. And I'm talking about the first one. Okay, second one's cool too, but I love the first one more. It's just that dun 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 dun. It's JoJo. What else can you say about it? The comic style, the way that the cheapness was used to the show's to that opening's advantage, mixing in with the awesome, just the pure awesomeness that JoJo has to offer. I cannot say any more except I surrendered myself to that opening as soon as I heard it.
It definitely had a classic comic book feel to it. It brings back a lot of good memories for me, at least. But I think that was one of the few I remember for openings because it's so recent, but the rest, not a clue in my mind. So, you know, we've talked – huh?
No, I was just thinking, like, Flawfinder, you're the only person who actually likes, like, the first opening more than the second one.
Really?
I just find that quite interesting.
I've seen a few people who did prefer the first opening to the second one. They said the second one was cool, but
I mean, but it's so cool because it's, like, it's got that sly rhythm to it, and then it's, like, all those colors, and it's so fluid. And there's fucking scarves.
I don't know. That second opening is kind of forgettable compared to the first one for me.
It's so flamboyant. How can you forget it?
I have no idea. It's because the first opening was so awesome. Let's just say it. Let's just go with that.
Okay, all right. I suppose.
So we've got best opening, you know, best ending. This one, I'm going to agree with Flawfinder on this show, at least in terms of the show, is that JoJo, for me, has one of the best endings I've listened to in a while. I actually do listen to that one from time to time because it's got that classic rock track. The group.
So essentially, as you're driving on the highway to work, you know, Roundabout comes on the radio, so therefore you claim you listen to the ending to JoJo.
No, I actually listened to the ending on JoJo at least three times since it started airing. So that's more than I have on a lot of other shows. Technically speaking, the only opening I'm forced to or the only opening I ever listen to is Poyo Poyo, because if I didn't, the show would only be a minute long. So, and plus it's funny to hear my daughter sing the opening with the show. So I think it may not be the best opening this season, but it's the only one I listen this year, but it's the only one I listen to. But it's regardless. So best ending for me, I guess JoJo, because I can kind of relate to it. I understand. I like classic rock. It's something familiar to me. So I mean, it's not Black Heaven rock, but it's close enough. Yeah. You guys have never seen Black Heaven, have you?
No, I'm sorry.
I saw those Legend of Black Heaven. I own the Legend of Black Heaven.
Oh, good grief. So you know that opening. Come on.
Oh yeah, I do. I'll have to give it a listen to again because I can't seem to remember it for some reason. I don't know why.
That opening and ending.
So when did that come out, though?
90s? Late 90s?
Yeah, it was like 1998, 99.
See, at that time, all I remember is Moon Shoes and The Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
I watched Legend of Black Heaven this year with classics. So, but anyways, So if you want a show that has the most convoluted opening ending that matches nothing of what's going on in the show, Legend of Black Heaven. That ending will make you go, what the hell? But yeah, I recommend everybody watch the opening ending of Black Heaven since we're on that topic. Anyways, getting back to best ending. Since I already said JoJo, let's go Flawfinder. Best ending.
My favorite ending is the second ending of Hyoka. It's mostly like one of those J-pop endings, but when combined with the animation for that second ending, with the characters dressed up in detective outfits and how the girls are dressed as the detectives while the boys are dressed as criminals and how the girls are chasing them, and then when you combine it with the J-pop, somehow it just clicks for me.
Are you a fan of J-pop?
I'm not. I don't have anything against it.
I'm not judging you. I'm just curious.
No, I'm just saying. I don't have anything against it. I'm not like the biggest fan of it, but basically, yeah. I the song by itself is, I guess, I don't know. I can't picture that song without picturing the actual animation to the ending itself. So, yeah.
Okay.
All right, Aeroblip, you're up.
Man, these endings, I don't know. Like, there are so many good ones. Let me just point out some good ones out there. First of all, if you want to talk about J-pop, there was two by Yanagi Nagi. So if you guys don't remember, she's the one who did the ending song for Bokemonogatari. So this year she did the one for, she did both Drum and Gone songs, and she also did the ending song for Anonatsu de Materu. So, you know, there's my little gush right there, but that's not the winner. There was also Joshiraku, you know, that was a fantastic ending. Completely random, full of puns, and it was quite funny. But that's not what I'm going to go with. I'm going to go with Psycho Pass. The only reason why is...
Really?
I don't know, because, like...
So for our audience, in our pre-show debates here, this isn't what he chose, so he's going on a limb on this one.
I know. It's really weird, because, like, I really like Yanagi Nagi. I really do like her. And I was actually split between those two songs. But I feel like I'm going to go with Psycho Pass just because I like the oons. I don't know why. I really like the oons. I'm not a big fan of Egoists. Like, what they did in Guilty Crown was just, it was okay. But for some reason, what they did for Psycho Pass really clicked. It really clicked.
Okay.
Again, I don't know. I feel like I'm a walking contradiction right now because I really do love Yanagi Nagi. I honestly do. But I can't pick any of those because they're just good songs, but I wouldn't say good endings. If that makes sense.
Well, I won't disagree that you're a walking contradiction, but...
You know what? Shut up.
But, okay, Psycho Pass. I mean, it's a more recent one.
Wait, time out. Just going to go with one of our commenters over here. Seven Wraiths said the Upote ED. You, sir, are awesome. Just because I know a lot of people don't like Upote, but
because
I really do love the drums.
But anyways.
Oh, shut up. I love guns. But the point is that, like, that ending song had awesome drums. Like, it had, like, the military, like, the snares, like, doof, 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 like, kind of like the marching band sound.
I got
that. That was pretty cool. That was pretty cool. Good job, right. Seven Wraith. You got a shout out.
All right. So, let's see. Most improved. So, when we're talking about most improved, we're looking for shows that, when you first watch maybe the one or two episodes, you're like, is this really something I really want to stick with? And then as it goes on, it starts to grow, and by the end, it really starts to come into its own. You know, more it gathers that momentum. At least in your mind, it does. I went first last time. Aeroblip, you went last again, so roll into this one. First up, what do you think is the most improved?
Most improved series. Okay, let's see. You see, here I was oh, man, I have a lot of clarifications. So originally going into this, I was going to say Korowa Zombie Deska, just because the first season was... It's a stupid show, but the first season was hindered by plot, whereas the second season, it completely threw that plot out the window and just focused on stupid shit, which is why I think it's the most improved. But you put that clarifier in our document, assuming that it was within, like, the season, or it had to be within the year, so I can't really say that, because it improved as a franchise, not as a season. So I'm going to go with Jormungand, because, first of all, that entire series was, you know, this year in 2012, and second of all, the first episodes of Jormungand, they were kind of okay. Like, you know, you had your gunfights, and you had Coco, and she was loco, and I say, oh no. But, like, after a while, as you started going through each of the character arcs and understanding, like, more about the story and the actual world that they're in, it becomes a lot more intriguing, and it makes it easier to become invested into this show. And at this point, Jormungand is actually probably one of my favorite shows of 2012. Purely for the fact that it was able to, I guess, build up into something bigger. Like, it started, like, again, I said, it started with small character arcs, and those were entertaining, but it's the overall big picture, which is especially what Jormungand is starting to go into right now in the final arc. That's what I'm liking about this show, and that's why I think it's so awesome.
All right. So for me, what I felt the show had a shaky start was Lupin the Third. Now, hear me out on this. At first, it seemed like it was going to be about tits and ass and sloppy heists. I mean, the first episode, what, you saw her tits for a grand total of, what, a third of the episode?
Yeah.
Something stupid like that. I was like, you know, I'm not buying into this. It better have something more than just adult fan service, because, you know, it's not lowly porn. It's adult porn, for lack of a better word. But I thought Lupin was just going to be a TNA and sloppy heist kind of stuff. And as it goes on, it finally started to kind of focus in a little more. Better plot, better, you know, theft. And that ending was great. It was kind of it was dramatic. It was a lot of fun. So for me, I'm going to go with Lupin the Third as something that I felt was uncentered to start with, focused better, and finished strong.
Joe, okay. I got a quick question about this show. Okay. I'm not going to lie. I dropped this show just for the same exact reasons that you just said right there. So when I guess when I was going to the show, I was always confused by the fact that, like, Mine Fujiko was supposed to be this, you know, this strong, beautiful woman. But for some reason, the only time she was able to get away with her heist is if she was moving her tits and ass. Like, if you think about it, like, whenever she got, like, it's like, oh, I'm going to jiggle my boobs, and hey, I got a magic key, and I can go in the store. But, like, does the series actually stray away from it from that point? Because that was kind of the big turnoff, because I was like, this was supposed to be an interesting character, and it's not.
How about it doesn't thrive on the tits and ass as being the only point it makes?
Okay, then. Okay.
The TNA becomes less important to the overall flow of what the show is doing.
So, knowing my tastes, as broad as they are, do you think I should pick this one up? Again, I guess.
I think it's got strong artistic talent. It's, I think it's something that if you get the free time, I would finish out. But I wouldn't go out of my way to finish it, knowing your tastes. Let's say you want to marathon a show over a weekend because you've got some time. Be great, throw it in there. But like, I wouldn't bump a show in winter I probably would bump a show to watch this. But like next spring or summer, I wouldn't bump anything for it.
Okay.
Yeah, as Cadian says, creepy owl baddies. and Seven Wraith goes from making a great comment to saying Badaka Box for great improvement. I don't know if this person's read the manga, but you're going to be sadly disappointed in about another week.
Maybe he wants the shonen change.
Yeah, Madoka Box doesn't get any better. Anyways, we'll leave that one alone. That manga was a complete disappointment. And then they rewrote the entire... Like, the guy started over halfway through the series and started a whole new show. Whole new plot. Just because it was that bad. I have no faith in that show at all. But that's me. So, worst show this year. And actually,
Wait, what about me?
Oh, I'm... We got completely sidetracked. I'm so used to just talking to Aeroblit. Flawfinder, go for it. Most improved show.
Aquarion Evol, man. I watched the hour-long episode after so many people have been saying, you got to watch Aquarion Evol. You got to watch Aquarion Evol. And I watched it, and I was like, personalist male, falls in love with female. The side characters are kind of cool. Then watch the third episode or the first 30-minute long episode, and it was like, okay, he's a bit pathetic, whatever. Next episode, where I think that was the one where the Infinity Punch broke the Berlin Wall that separates the genders, I was like, okay, now this is getting good. And then it just kept going on. It just kept going crazier and crazier and crazier. And then I thought the second half tanked a little, but then it finished back strong again, and I was just... That was so awesome. I was laughing so hard at that at the show. I was caring about these characters. I was loving the action. Aquarion Evol, man, that show is something else.
Yeah. Let me jump on one of your points for a sec. If whoever tried to watch this show, please keep going after the second episode, because when I first started watching it, I really didn't care about the first two episodes. But then Kevo kept raving about it and raving about it and raving about it. So I was like, okay, let's keep going. I didn't turn into a believer until episode 8. And let's just say that you need to shed your armor in order to become more free and accepting of the show. that was the episode that completely turned around my opinion on it.
You're going to pull one of those out. You're going to pull a what's his face? A
Fudo Zen.
A Fudo Zen, yes.
look at their ants and those... And their crazy antics.
So if you've watched Aquarion Evol and you want to see how just nuts Fudo Zen can be, watch the original Aquarion. You have no idea how nuts.
Don't make them watch that.
So this is my experience with Evol. So I knew that Evol was coming out at the beginning of the year. So I just said, oh, I got a week here at Christmas. I basically have the whole week off from work. I'm gonna goof off. So I sat down with my kids. Probably not a great choice. And we over that week, we watched the dubbed version of the original Aquarion on Netflix, and we marathoned about two episodes a night for that week, and went through at least two episodes a night for that week, and just ran through that. It was hilarious, absolutely hilarious. I had to do a lot of sunglass covers there, but it was worth it. It was a lot of fun. So back to what we're doing here. We're getting completely sidetracked.
Yeah, we are.
Worst show this year. Which...
Okay, if we're talking about worst, Flawfinder needs to obviously set us in the right direction.
Okay, alright, so worst show this year. Now, you've caveated this, so I want you to go with your caveat and then give us your response.
My worst show of the year is not Sword Art Online.
That's
it's
fine.
It's not Guilty. It's not Guilty Crown either.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Let's see. Joe, I actually picked two shows, but I think one of you guys have. So I'll just go with one. The one I hated the most this year, it would be Kokoro Connect. I absolutely had a very bad allergic reaction to that show. It was that show in particular that was cluing me in on how a lot of anime, especially light novel adaptations, were trying to pass themselves off as being intelligent when they don't have a clue what they're talking about.
Whoa, wait. Giant red flag here. When did Kokoro Connect ever try to prove itself to be what you call intelligent?
It reminded me of Glee when it was trying to tackle issues like domestic abuse or whatever that fear of men is called. I forgot the name. And like Glee, I hated it because it didn't know what it was talking about at all. It just kept taking the road of generic suckitude. It was like it was written by somebody who hated Key, which is ironic because it's the person who adapted all those Key novels those Key visual novels that was adapting this thing, and took away all the stuff they hated about it, but they didn't insert anything good in its place. And I hated the character so much. The main had no personality. The gay girl annoyed me. The little sister annoyed me. The comedy I couldn't stand. Yeah. there wasn't much I cared for in that show.
Time out. I just want to go to our viewers over here. Sabas, however you pronounce his name, I'm sorry. I like his comment right here. Giant red flag for you, Flaw Finder, because you're watching Glee.
Yeah, dude. There's a whole.
No, I don't watch Glee. I watched a few episodes of it and then stopped.
All right.
I don't know. It sounds like you're trying to read. It sounds like you were trying to find deep shit in the shit, and I can understand. I don't know. I'm kind of confused because I can understand why you wouldn't like the show. Like it's just overly dramatic. It's over the top when it comes to its drama. I can understand why that turns people off. But then you said it was like you're trying to make it sound like it's deep, or at least tried to be deep, and I never got that impression one bit. Like, are you sure you just weren't like looking like really far into this?
If the show had taken itself a little less seriously, maybe I wouldn't have that issue. But yeah, I don't know. That's what I got from when watching the show.
Okay.
Then again, when I don't enjoy a show, I tend to look for flaws more. So.
Oh, that explains your name.
Yeah. So to follow on the heels of that, I'm gonna say Black Rock Shooter. Okay, so of the shows I finished, there are plenty of shows I dropped because they were terrible, like Apote and some other ones. But of the shows I finished, Black Rock Shooter was just bad. Like, there was no redeeming quality.
There were action scenes, right?
There were action scenes, and that was about... Okay, so one redeeming quality. It had an action scene here and there. It had gunfire and violence.
You're talking to a guy who runs a show called Fabcast. There's always a glimmer of hope in something.
True. But I mean, just... Okay, it had violence, and it had gunfire and action. Nothing else about that was interesting. The characters were completely bland. The whole... I'm here to rescue my friend and her crazy cousin The show was absolutely, like I said, I'll give it redeeming. The redeeming quality was the fights. Everything else was, you could dump that pile of trash in the garbage and move on. And anybody who, if they even think people are going to pay more than $10 for a DVD of that, they're smoking a lot of crack. So that's my two cents. Black Rock Shooter, of the shows I managed to finish, most terrible show.
I want to add that I would have that Black Rock Shooter also ties with Kokoro Connect as my worst show this year, but I didn't want to say anything because, well, had to let him get his shot.
I mean, you guys already agreed on Hyoko, so
I know. Black Rock Shooter. I mean, man, it wasn't even a full. I mean, they took that one slot from Notre Dame 11. They filled the first three or four with. Was it four or three? Four, right? With Thurme Rome. And they only had three. They only had eight episodes to work with, and they completely tanked. Like, how bad can you go? Yeah, it found it. All right. Anyways, that's my two cents. Black Rock Shooter can go back to the pot smoking hole it came from. Aeroblip, what about you?
Okay, I'm going to be really, really ridiculously unfair, and I'm going to actually consider a show that's currently airing right now. Usually, I like to wait for a show to finish before I pass judgment on it. This needs a good talking to. So the show I pick is Oni-chan Takedo, or Oni-ai, as it's known as.
Why Can't I Fuck My Brother?
Essentially. Yes. Like, my brother's right there. And why can't any of these five girls fuck the brother? I don't know. So here's my big problem with the show is that the only reason why I got into it was because of its opening. That opening is one of the most ridiculous minute 30 I have ever seen all year. Like, all this, like, it's not even sexual innuendos at that point. And it's like, is it Silverlink that's animating this, right? It's like Silverlink had no idea what the word subtle meant. Like, there's literally girls, like, literally on the main character's crotch, dry fucking him, sucking his cock, doing everything, like, that just, you know, I would probably constitute as rape. But it was hilarious. It was absolutely hilarious in the way that they just blatantly threw everything out the window. They threw common sense out the window, and they were just like, let's do this. Let's make a show this bold, this crass. I thought that's what the show was going to do, and it didn't do it. Like, it's actually the most boring show I've seen all year, just because there's a bunch of talking, and besides a couple of the character designs, which I admit are pretty cool just because it reminds me of Mayu Chiki, there's no comedy in this at all. Like, there's just a bunch of talking, and then, like, the actual sister is just annoying as fuck, and, like, none of the characters are really interesting. You have, like, a poor man, Senja Gahara, like, a lolly chick, a second lolly chick, to the point where, like, the first one is, like, completely useless. And it's just boring. Like, they talk, and it's just absolutely boring. Now, again, like I said, this show's not done. So I'm still watching it. I'm hoping. Like, I got a picture from Min, and he, you know, like, it looked like there would be one funny scene in the next episode. So I'm hoping that it's going to be better. But, like, I'm just bored out of my fucking mind with the show. Like, you guys mentioned Sword Art Online, Black Rock Shooter. Those were at least entertaining to watch, right? Like, you can at least point and laugh and say, haha, that's the kid that pisses pants. Like, that's what you would do. Like, I can't do that with Oni-chan Takedo. Like, it's just absolutely boring.
I thought Black Rock Shooter was boring from start to get-go.
But you can laugh at it. Like, you can laugh at that stupid drama. Like, there was that one scene where, like, that one bitch, like, completely flipped the shit and just decided to wreck everything in a room with a pillow.
There was? Like, I forgot everything
she
about
that. She threw a temper
show.
Tantrum. She's like, I don't have friends! Wah!
And then was that the blonde little loli that they tried to throw in there?
Yeah, like the crazy bitch?
Yeah. Well, they're all crazy, but...
Yeah, they're all crazy. And then what? You have, the, like, the psycho teacher who just tried to choke, like, all the bitches? Like, it's...
No, that, there was some
humor to go with that. Like, what? I don't care if it's intentional or not. I was laughing. But not with this. Not with Oni-chan. Like, I can't do it. I'm sorry.
All right. So, there you have it, guys. Worst shows this year. Lots of vile and hatred towards what we don't like. So let's finish off with something before we go into the grand finale of shows. Let's go with most surprising show. So the show that you didn't think much of, watched, and actually enjoyed. So this is gonna bring, I think, a lot of diverse comments and things from diverse opinions. So, you know, I'll start off and we'll go from there. We mentioned that the first Notre Dame slot at the beginning of the year was split into two halves. You had Black Rock Shooter. It was the show that preceded that I found actually surprisingly funny and whatnot. So Thurme Rome, for me, was the most surprising show. Only three episodes long. It's about a Roman guy who starts drowning in the Roman bath and ends up waking up in a Japanese hot spring. And he keeps bringing back these ideas from Japanese hot springs to ancient Rome and incorporating them into the Roman bath structure. I thought the show was hilarious, lots of comedy, good slapstick here and there, a lot of fun. So for me, it was very surprising that a premise like that could actually be enjoyable. So for me, Thurme Rome was definitely my most surprising show this year. Only three episodes long, so if you have to watch it, go for it.
Well, more like six short episodes.
Was it six?
Yeah, six. Because each one was like 15 minutes long.
So
you said three
earlier. Okay. So maybe it's – oh, yeah, because they combined them in pairs, didn't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so six shorties or three long ones, whatever you want to put it. It was a lot of fun to watch. Enjoyable, definitely. But Aeroblip, I think you've got a different show in mind.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I do.
And one I would disagree with, but go for it.
Okay, I'm going to go with Symphogear because I had no idea what to expect from the show going into this. Like, there is, like, I mean, the premise sounds really stupid. Like, you had – it's essentially about, like, these two singers who have magical powers – and essentially they fight these things called Noise, which are just little blob alien jello pieces of shit. But, like – in the first episode was okay, and then as they kept going on, and I was like, you know what, this is, I just had no idea what to think. But then, like, I think it was episode four, a bunch of ridiculously bloody scenes just randomly occurred. And at this point, there was, the studio and I, we came to a mutual agreement. Do not take the show seriously. And then once you do that, this is just nonstop action, J-pop, like, magical girl shit. And it was quite honestly hilarious. Like, it's fun. Like, that's the best thing about the show, is that it's very hyper, it's rambunctious. It's like a kid with ADD that just ate a bunch of sugar, and he's just bouncing all over the walls. And that's what I love about Symphogear. And then when you combine all these results into, like, an actually decent finale, like, I was just left with my jaw dropped on the floor, just like, wow, this was actually a good show. And, like, it's one that you can't, like, this is one that Flawfinder definitely cannot call deep. It's no way deep. And it's just hilarious because it's almost like a magical girl show, like almost like a traditional magical girl show, just with more J-pop. And it's a bunch of just fighting and just speed lines and bright colors. And this is one of those perfect shows where you just literally, you turn your brain off and then you just absorb it all. And you'll have amazing fun after that. So that's why that's my, like, most surprising show this year.
Hmm. See, for me, Symphogear, like, rated in the bottom third of what I liked, so I have a little different opinion, but I'll go with the most surprising. That's fine.
It's so silly. It's, come on, that ending, really, it's so silly. I couldn't help but enjoy myself. This, like, I'll recommend the show to everybody. This show is just absolutely funny, retarded, stupid.
All right. Flawfinder, what about you? Your most surprising show this year?
Milky Homes, baby.
Really, Milky Homes.
Joe, you questioned my taste?
I know.
Gaze into the power of the show, you mere mortals. This show was so awesome. I've been recommended this show because by some rabid fans, and I was like, okay, I'll check it out, considering it's got a pretty loyal fan base. And when I looked at it, holy crap, Milky Homes was awesome. I want to stick to the second season because that's the one that aired this year. I was a little worried about the second season because I was going, like, can they still keep it funny? Will the joke still be fresh? Will this character still be entertaining? Will it still make me laugh? Will it still be the twisted moe show that I wish Kyoto Animation would make one day? And yeah, it was still that show. It was still the same old girls, moe girls, just going from brilliant detectives to terrible monsters. They just grew worse and worse in attitude. And then to be honest, I'm one of the few people who don't think the second season was as good as the first. It had a bit of a lack. The jokes sort of lacked a little bit of structure compared to the first season. And it had a bunch of weird stuff that you'd have to be Landon in order to understand, because I couldn't really understand like the stuff with, like, the lard monster and all that. It didn't click with me that much for some reason. But yeah, I was surprised when a moe show like Milky Homes would I was just awed by how good this thing was.
That is surprising praise from you. It's almost like you're giving it a best show of the year type award.
like I said, if I believed it was better than the first season, it probably would, but I didn't think it was.
All right. So that does bring us to our final award for tonight. So best show this year. I'm looking through our results. We'll include shows that either began. We'll include shows that had to finish this year. How about that? So the show had to finish in 2012, or have a majority of its episodes air in 2012. Fair enough, guys.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Full Finder, go first.
So you've been quickly voted.
Here's the thing. I only want Flatfinder to go first because he has two shows listed here, and no, only do one show. And I'm actually quite curious as to which one he's going to pick.
All right, so in our pre-show, okay, he chose two. So let's go. Fine. Pick your
one,
best.
One.
Pick
okay,
one.
Fine, fine. I'll do the one that I didn't talk about yet. Okay, best show this year, Lupin the Third. Absolutely loved it. All those things you guys were turned off by, I absolutely loved. I love this. I love the sleaze. I love the jazz. I love the original soundtrack, which was probably my second favorite of the original soundtrack, crafted by again Shinichiro Watanabe. I love the characters, how they went back to the roots with Lupin, and how the new twist they went, like they made Zenigata. They turned him from a goofball into a slime bag, and I even liked Oscar in his weird, even though he was a really weird guy with the, I can't really describe him that much. I just really like him, and yeah, every I think there was like one episode I didn't quite like about the show. It was the Fidel Castro one. But other than that, it was just awesome seeing the art tricks, the sleazy Norse style. It was really, really great to watch.
Okay, I'll give you that. Like I said, it was a great show. I thought it was something that it finished better than it started, but I can see how it would be a good choice for best show of the year. So I'll let Aeroblip go first because he likes to get his last word in. So I'm pick for best show this year, I'm going to say Aquarion Evol. Simply because this show knew exactly what it was. It ran with that premise throughout the entire thing. It was outrageous, over the top. It combined goofy Zen comments with mecha, with a goofy love story, superpowers. I mean, it threw everything and the kitchen sink into a show, and it was over the top, outrageous. It knew exactly how to be that, and it excelled at that for a solid 26 episodes. So for me, Aquarian Evol would be my favorite show for this year.
Man, that really was a good show, now that I think about it.
It's one of those, like I said, it's one of those shows that it knew exactly what it wanted to be. It knew it wasn't trying to be serious. It wasn't trying to be – it wanted to be this over-the-top, outrageous mecha show, and it was.
See, this is, I'm totally going to jump in on with you on this one. Like, this show had ambition, but in all the right places. Like, it knew, like, it, just as you said, it knew exactly what it wanted to do. And not only did it know what it wanted to do, it did it superb. Like, it was just beautiful. It was superb. Like I can't, it's hard to talk about the show because I don't want to spoil it. Not like plot spoilers, but more like comedic gold spoilers.
Oh, yeah.
Like this show made me go absolutely bananas every week.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those shows, if you haven't seen it, I think it's just one of those shows where whether you like mecha shows or not, or sci-fi, it's just something you have to watch because it's perfection and it's comedy. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
It's trying to be comedic, not like Guilty Crown comedy. It's actually trying to be funny at times.
It's a comedy. Yes.
It's trying to be a parody. It's trying to be it's great. So that for me, Aquarian Evol would be my choice for best show this year. So Aeroblip, last word in. Best show this year.
Best show. Here's the problem with the show. You two are just flat out wrong. Your opinions are wrong. Everything you said is wrong because those shows aren't—they're not the best shows of 2012. But clearly, the best show of 2012 is Chihaya Furu. Like Joe, I can't get mad at you, Joe, because you haven't seen the show. But also, shame on you, Joe, for not watching the show because I know you're a big sports fan, and this may not appear it like on the surface, but Chihaya Furu is actually one of the better sports dramas I have seen in any medium in the past decade.
See, I think we could have an entire episode conversation here about how terrible Japan does animes about sports.
Well, here I can't really
say.
So
that's why I'm pretty pessimistic.
Maybe you've seen a lot more than I have, all right?
No, I don't watch any. I've watched a couple episodes of stuff, and it's just like, oh, my gosh.
Okay, tangent, what have you seen?
Oh, my good grief. I can't even think of them now.
Well, okay, so, I mean, one of the best ones that I've heard that I personally haven't seen, which kind of makes me sad as a sports fan. I heard Eyeshield 21 is actually pretty decent. I heard Giant Killing is actually amazing. Like, have you seen those?
Like, those are based on long-running manga, too. Shows that have had Actually, they come from strong plot backgrounds. How about that?
Well, have you seen them, though?
I have not.
Okay, so before we have our discussion, you and I, we need to watch those shows. Going back to Chihaya Furu, the greatest show of 2012, this show, it's absolute gold. Like, the plot, like, first of all, this is done by Madhouse, so you can expect some fantastic visuals. Not to mention, as I talked about earlier, it's got a wonderful, very atmospheric soundtrack. Like, the characters themselves are very likable, not to mention, not only are they likable, they're really relatable. Like, for me, like, I can really relate to Taichi. I think everyone can relate to Taichi. Like, he's, like, the pain and suffering, like, it really builds up all those feels. And it's very dramatic. There's actual tension. For something about sports, there's actual tension. Like, I can't stop gushing about the show. This show is absolutely amazing. Like, you guys thought I could talk days about how much I like Nisei Monogatari. I can talk weeks about Chihaya Furu and why every single person needs to watch this show. This show is absolute money. And I am fucking pumped that it is starting back up again next season. So, winter 2013, everyone get fucking excited because Chihaya Furu's second season's coming to town. And I pray that we're going to get the same quality. No. I'll go even further, and I'm assuming that it's going to be even better than this season. This year's was absolutely fantastic. I'm hoping that next year it's going to be a fucking 11 out of 10. That's how much I'm hoping out of it.
Okay.
That is how much I love this franchise series. I haven't read the manga or whatever series. All right.
So to recap for our viewers, Lupin, Aquarian Evil, and then Chihaya. How do you say it again?
Chihaya Furu.
Are the three shows we've chosen to be the best shows this year. So if you get a chance, download them, watch them, or watch them through a legal means, and let us know what you think.
Wait, did you say watch through a legal means or illegal means?
Watch through legal means.
Okay,
support your local streaming, legitimate streaming and sales channels, et cetera, right?
Yeah. All right. Well, actually, I heard that apparently Crunchyroll is now on Xbox Live starting today.
It is. I actually have a new app to put on my Xbox tonight.
I know. So do I. I'm so happy. Like, I actually might subscribe to Crunchyroll now.
It would actually be worth it now. Now that it's on a medium I can enjoy it in. So.
Well, why did it take so long to finally get to Xbox? Because, like, I figured Netflix was there and, like, you know, it works. Like, have you ever watched ESPN on Xbox?
Yes, but then whenever I want to watch something cool, it's not on there.
Oh, I see. Oh, because of the whole blackouts. Yeah, it's no
blackouts,
problem.
And then if your cable company isn't a part of their thing, you can't watch ESPN1 or primary. So because my cable company, so I get a bunch of crappy side sports stuff.
Okay.
Here's a reason. I'll give you a reason why Crunchyroll probably was on the Xbox before, because there are two or three apps already that Funimation and Sunrise licensed content to that was already on the Xbox.
Was it really?
So Netflix is on there. There was there's Crackle, I think is what it's called. And there was one other that had quite a bit of already U.S. licensed streaming shows on there.
Well, aren't all I know Netflix is on the PS3, but aren't the other two on the PS3 as well?
I don't know.
Well, PSN is shit, so.
Hail
Xbox.
People say, you're paying for something that should be free. No, I'm paying for a quality service. Thank you very much.
Yes. Number one, Xbox Live, totally worth the $60. Number two, you're fucking stupid if you're actually paying the full $60 for Xbox Live.
Yeah.
Because it's actually much cheaper than that.
Yeah, there's so many free coupons out there. I think I bought 2 years a while ago and got it for $30 a year.
Yeah. When I pre-ordered Modern Warfare, it came with a free year.
Really?
Modern Warfare 3, so last year. Yeah. So
I didn't get it for you. Who did you buy?
Based on all these coupons and deals and stuff, like my Xbox Live is currently paid for all the way through 2015.
Nice. I actually have to re-up, and I'm considering getting a family account. But we're getting completely sidetracked. So, guys, for our final thoughts, how would you rate this year overall? Knowing what the shows you watched and other shows that people enjoyed, out of a count of five, one being the worst, this is just a terrible year, nothing good's ever going to come of it, nobody will remember it, to a five where every show that was produced was solid gold and that this year will be known as the best year of anime, how would you guys rate this year?
Flop Finder, guess first.
Out of five, I do go 4 out of 5. It was there wasn't too many things that were outstanding this year, but it was still a really good year. I watched a lot of shows I enjoy, contrary to what I may act like on Twitter, and even the stuff I didn't enjoy, I got something out of it. So overall, yeah, pretty good year.
All right. 4 out of 5. Aeroblip, what about you? What would you give this year?
Not a big fan of ratings. Well, here's the thing. Okay, so this is my first year. Hey, guys, guess what? This is my first year being in the blogging community. But I actually started following anime seasonally starting in winter 2011. What I can say about 2012 is that it doesn't have the AAA titles that 2011 had. So if you think about it, like there was Madoka, you had Steins Gate, Penguin Drum, like there was giant like heavy hitters. And I feel like in 2012, we didn't really get that this year. I mean, like, sure, you can say, oh, it was Nisei, but, like, a lot of people were kind of, like, meh about it. Like, it was a great show. And then you could say the same thing about Aquarion, Shohaya Furu even. Like, there was a bunch of great shows, but just not heavy hitters, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I said that myself.
So, you know, honestly, when looking back at this year, this was a fantastic year. Because not only was there a lot of great stuff, not fantastic, not masterpiece, but like there was a lot of great stuff out there, but it was so well diversified too. Whether you like something like Jormungand, where it's a bunch of action, you can go with some more subtle dramas, like I don't know, I guess some people like Sakamichi no Pollen. You have like your romantic comedies like Anonatsu, and then you just have pure fun shows like Dog Days. Yeah, I'm throwing out Dog Days, what up? But like, you know, this was just a great year. Like, there's no need to put a rating on it. If you want to put a rating, fuck you. There's no rating for this. It was just a great year.
I'm going to give it about a 3 out of 5. And where you say there was lacking 3.5 out of 5, sorry, where you say there was lacking big hitters, I think we got the addition of some long-running, good shonen-esque shows like Space Bros and Hunter x Hunter to kind of replace that, where you get, like, Hunter x Hunter has been, I think, consistently good since it came out. I thought it's been, I never saw the original anime release, but I thought is for what are we 50 some odd episodes in, consistently good. So I think we've substituted a few heavy hitters for a lot of long running, consistently enjoyable shows.
So when I say heavy hitters, I mean like industry changers. That's what I mean. Yeah. Like things that like shake up, like the things that shake up our world. Like Madoka, that blew everybody's minds at the time. Same thing about Steins Gate. Same thing about Penguin Drum. Like it changed how we like essentially look at anime. Like this year, nothing really changed my perception, but it's not like anime hurt it either. It was just a really great year. It's a bunch of solid shows, and I think you're a damn fool if you couldn't find at least a handful of shows that you did not enjoy or that you enjoyed.
True. Where last year may have been had some big hitters, I think this year was consistently better, where everybody could find something to argue
about.
Yes,
it's more consistent. If you had to describe 2012 in one year, consistency would probably be a good word to use.
Whoa. You're telling me that Milky Homes did not change you guys' lives?
No, because I don't watch shit.
I didn't watch that show. Flawfinder is speechless. We've quieted him down.
Years from now, that show, all other anime will be forgotten except for Milky Homes. It's the true modern masterpiece.
I don't know if it's not great enough to be your number one show of the year. Like, how good is it? You know, just throwing that out there.
The second season may not have been as great, but the entire franchise, well, okay, except for the crap OVAs, will live on in whatever. Will live on forever.
It's going to be the new Evangelion of anime.
Hey, I read an article that it is the new Evangelion of anime. It's the Evangelion of moe.
Oh, you've already lost me when you said that.
I'm even gone. Wait, does it have a confirmed third season though?
No, not yet.
Okay, then it is the Ava. Come on, it is the Ava then, because it's not confirmed.
No, we're gonna get Milky Homes 1.0.
Oh, yeah, exactly.
You cannot milk.
You cannot. Oh jeez. Oh my gosh, the connotations on that are terrible. Let's just move on. Anyways, so we're finally going to close up. We've been at this for an hour now. It's been a lot of fun, but we're going to shut things down. Thank you for watching, as always. You can find this show and others at the Anime Audio Log WordPress site, right there on your screen. We've also got a Twitter account, so you'll see post updates come to there. This show, other things we do, etc., you can find us on iTunes for a podcast feed. YouTube, we save these shows as files, upload them to YouTube. You can also see them. If you notice on the right, we're starting to save the videos also to the Ustream, so you can see them there. And then if you're interested in joining us, like Mr. Flawfinder has, and some of you have already chimed in, so we'll be having some guests come on soon, you can always send me an email. That is it for tonight, guys. Are we all still there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
All right.
I'm just kind of bummed, you know.
I know. Oh, as a side note, this is our last show of the 2012 year.
That's why I'm bummed.
Yeah, next Tuesday is Christmas. Nobody wants to listen to us on Christmas.
What's the Tuesday after that?
New Year's.
Oh, so wait, you're telling me we're not doing a show on Christmas or New Year's?
No, I thought that the amount of viewership we'd get would be pretty damn slim.
Oh, I just thought that it's because we had lives.
Oh, that too. I know. I will not be around on Christmas Day. I will be possibly not sober and possibly not giving a damn about anything.
Oh, I know what I'll be doing on Christmas Day. I'll be sitting on my park bench because it's the Amagami SS Challenge. Who's with me? Yeah. Woo-hoo! Yeah.
Air
Oh,
Blimp's
what
gonna
about
be
you?
alone in his little apartment in Michigan,
No, I'm gonna be talking to Gary.
drinking out of his bottle of cheap malt liquor. It's
Are you
popular
fucking
in.
kidding me, dude? Cheap malt liquor? I have better taste, all right?
Expensive malt liquor, I apologize.
Wait, did I not tell you what, like, okay, so I recently went out for my birthday, and I decided to treat everyone with some Glenlivet, like year 18.
Would that cost you $25 a shot?
No, because it was my fucking birthday. I didn't pay for shit.
Oh.
No, but I go out in style. I go out in style. You know, I was all nice dressed up too, you know. Had my slacks, had my sweater vest, tie. I was fucking balling as hell, dude.
Oh jeez, he looks like Rain
So
Man.
much swag. So much swag.
Oh jeez. Anyways, so find us there, guys. We're always looking to have some fun. Anyways, we're closing this up. Good night, everybody.
Peace.
Night.